Nothing but the blood, amen. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this my plea. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now by this I'll overcome. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now by this I'll reach my home. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Glory, glory, thus I sing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. All my praise for this I bring. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the pilgrim way. For the hand of God in all my life I see. And the reason of my bliss, yes, the secret all is this, that the Comforter abides in me. He abides, He abides. Hallelujah, He abides in me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides in me. Once my heart was full of sin and I had no peace within, till I heard how Jesus died upon the tree. Then I fell down at His feet and there came a peace so sweet. Now the Comforter abides in me. Yes, He abides, He abides. Hallelujah, He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides in me. He is with me everywhere, and He knows my every care. I'm as happy as a bird and just as free. My spirit has control. Jesus satisfies my soul, since a Comforter abides in me. He abides, He abides. Hallelujah, He abides in me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides in me. There's no thirsting for the things of this world, they've taken wings. Long ago I gave them up and instantly. All my night is turned to day, all my burdens rolled away. Now the Comforter abides in me. Let's all stand. He abides. Put your hands together. He abides. Hallelujah, He abides in me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides in me. Amen. Brother Bob, could you help me this evening? Amen. Appreciate it. Amen. Remain standing as we sing Jesus Hold My Hand, 228 in Spiral if you need it. As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me, leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is a Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day, to help me do the best I can. For I need Thy light to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand. I need Thee every hour. Land, protect me by Thy power. Hear my feeble plea. Oh Lord, look down on me. Yes, Lord. As I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet You there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. I like this right here. Let me travel in the light divine, that I may see the blessed way. Keep me that I may be wholly Thine, and sing redemption song someday. I will be a soldier brave and true, and ever firmly take a stand. As I onward go and daily meet the foe, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand. I need Thee every hour. Through this pilgrim land, protect me by Thy power. Hear my feeble plea. Oh Lord, look down on me. When I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet You there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Listen to this. When I wander through the valley dim toward the setting of the sun, lead me safely to a land of rest if I a crown of life have won. I have put my faith in Thee, dear Lord, that I may reach that golden strand. There's no other friend on whom I may depend. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand. Yes, Lord, I need Thee every hour. Pilgrim land, protect me by Thy power. Hear my feeble plea, O Lord, look down on me. When I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet You there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Amen. A golden strand. We were going to Brother Ron Spencer's one time up in the mountains in Virginia. A rainbow was in, we ran into that part of the rainbow that was golden. And the gold part of it, and the trees looked like they were dripping of gold, and the streets and everything in it was gold. It's, what a blessing. God, I just pray that I see that again sometime. Amen. But He's truly been good to me. Amen. Lord, 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 You've surely been good to me. Lord, 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 You've surely been good to me. Lord, 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 You've surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not do. You saved my soul when I was lost. Surely been good to me. Saved my soul when I was lost. Surely been good to me. Saved my soul when I was lost. Surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not do. You filled me with the Holy Ghost. Truly been good to me. You filled me with the Holy Ghost. Truly been good to me. You filled me with the Holy Ghost. Truly been good to me. You have done what this world could not do. Lord, 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 You've surely been good to me. Lord, 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 You've surely been good to me. Lord, 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 You've surely been good to me. You have done what world could not do. Listen to this, Brother Dale. He healed your body when you were sick. He's surely been good to you. He healed your body when you were sick. He's surely been good to you. He healed your body when you were sick. Surely been good to you. If what this world could not do. Lord, 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 surely been good to me. Lord, 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 You've surely been good to me. Lord, 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 You've surely been good to me. Have done what this world could not do. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I won't turn back, I won't turn back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. I have started for the kingdom. I have started for the kingdom. I have started for the kingdom. I won't turn back, I won't turn back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Listen to this. Though no with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. I've decided, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The move is on, my Lord, the move is on. The move is on, my Lord, the move is on. I can hear the roaring in the mulberry tree, and I know, I know, I know the move is on. Move on, brother. Move on, sister. This is God's moving day. Where the fire is falling, move on, brother, move on.
Amen. Moving on.
Amen.
Getting ready to go.
The Lord.
Getting ready to get out of here.
Amen.
You ready to hear from Brother Aaron?
Yes, sir.
You ready to hear from God through Brother Aaron?
Yes.
Amen. That's who we want to hear from. Amen.
Amen.
Use the vessel, Lord. Just so let's thing open the eyes of my heart. Again, good to have Brother Dale and Sister Dale with us.
Lord.
And good to have our brother and sister with us here. They've been here before. Yeah. They're just part of us. Mama's pointing at you. And they've been here 100 times.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's sing Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord, as Brother Aaron comes to minister to the bride of Jesus Christ. The best of the best of the best of the best. Amen.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Lord, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up,
shining in the light of glory.
Grant your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Lifted up, shining in I want to see you. Amen. God bless you tonight. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. This is really weird to see Brother Dale sitting in the back of the church. But it's good to see him. And I had half a mind to hug him when I saw him, but I thought might break protocol. But it was good to see, but it's good to see y'all tonight. I love you, appreciate you, and just thank the Lord that He's brought you this far and continue to bless you. So tonight we're going to look at a very familiar scripture, which I think all scriptures. Pretty familiar. It's probably a very familiar scripture to the most of the Christianity. Most people that claim to be a Christian or go to church. Tonight I want to look at a little thought here. God's provided way and provision. Amen. And when I was looking at this, you know, there's one scripture that come to my mind. When you think about God providing a way and God providing all your needs, this is the one scripture that kept coming back to my mind. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Amen.
And so that's where I want to start with tonight and just look at a few things. And after what we heard from Brother Bob and from Brother Wade, it's been a blessing and, so I just want to share a few things with you tonight and hope it's a blessing. So let's just all bow our heads and speak to the author before we read the scripture tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity to be in your house, Lord. We're just so thankful for all your blessings on us, Lord, that we can come in your house, Lord, and gather, Lord, in your name and look into your word tonight, Lord. We just pray that you just come and help us, Lord, and Lord, just get us out of the way, Lord, that you can come and speak, Lord, and Lord, just be the speaker. And Lord, anoint the ears tonight to the hearers, Lord. Lord, that we may receive from you tonight, Lord Jesus. We just commit all things to you. Father, for each one that's has a need, Lord, that's represented in this building, Lord, you know what's on each heart. And Lord, I just pray that you minister in a special way, Lord. And Lord, for your bride around the world, Lord, there's this ministers, Lord Jesus, you know, the fivefold ministry, Lord, Lord, that are laboring. Lord, I would just pray that you bless them in a special way, touch them, anoint them. And Lord, just help us tonight, Lord, that we, everything that we say and do will be for your honor and glory. We commit all things to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Psalm 23, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Yes. Well, praise the Lord. Jenny's up and walking. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. God's still working. All you got to do is believe. And, I forgot to say earlier, but, the little boy that, I requested prayer for Sunday, Cason, he didn't come through his surgery okay. But y'all continue to pray for him. He's 7 years old. It's a man that I used to work with. He's passed on now, but it's his grandson. And he's had a real bad infection. They don't know how he got it, but he got a real bad infection in his foot. and it swelled up, and they had to do surgery, and it doesn't look good. The doctor said that pretty much everything that he thought was bad is what come about. But the first surgery went well. They're expecting more. But they said just pray that the next one will be his last, and they'll get all this infection cleaned up. And then I have a friend of mine that I went to high school with, and we requested prayer for her a few weeks ago. She had cancer, and they had to remove one of her kidneys and everything, and it went successful today.
Amen.
But y'all just pray that she doesn't have to go through any chemo or all those things, hopefully, everything. And I told her, I said, well, you know, it's by your confession. It's by what you believe. And she said, I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and he's leading me through this, and he's going to take care of me and lead me through. He's like, well, whatever your confession is, that's what God's going to do. He'll honor your confession, whatever you have faith in. Because, you know, he says, you know, as David was writing, as thinking about what Brother Wade was talking about Sunday, talking about David, you know, he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He said, I shall not, like a lot of people say, I shall not want. Like, no, it's, I shall not lack.
Amen. Right.
I shall not be in need.
Right.
The Lord is my shepherd.
Yes,
and you know, all the way through the scripture, this is a very strong analogy that's used many times in the scripture, because to understand that we are like sheep.
Amen.
We are the sheep of his pasture.
Yes,
and you know, we are, and you know, as Jesus said, you know, he said that, you know, I am the good shepherd. He said, I am the door of the sheepfold. You know, all the way through the Old Testament, the New Testament, we see that he talks about being a shepherd and us being sheep and how we need to be led.
Right.
But he said, the Lord's my shepherd. And you know, even when Jesus talks about it in the Gospels, you know, he talks about, you know, how a shepherd really acts. Has he lives with the sheep. He cares for the sheep. You know, he's not like a hireling. He has a great love for the sheep,
right.
And he even laid down his life for the sheep.
Amen.
And he said, the Lord is my shepherd.
Amen.
And you know, he wanted, that was his confession, that this is what the Lord has done for me.
Right.
The Lord has been so great and so gracious to me that that in all things he is my shepherd. Just as David was a man of the sheepfold and watched out, and you know, even when they come to take his sheep and you know, the bear and the lion tried to come, but you know, he slew them. And he said the same thing is even all the way through the Psalms. We know that David talks about how the enemies come and rose up against him, and you know, the Lord slew them and the Lord defeated them and turned them away, and all the things that he writes about how the Lord was watching over him. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, of all the things that David went through his life, you know, David could say, you know, I've never had a need for anything.
Right.
Even in the worst conditions that David was in his life, when Saul was trying to kill him and the different things like that, you know, God never left him. You know, he might have left God, but God never left him. And God always provided a way for him. Even when, even when we see that, you know, God allowed Saul to be placed in David's hands, and you know, even his men rose up and said, you know, now slay him. And he said, God forbid that I touch God's anointed.
Right.
You know, even though he could have, you know, he didn't do that because he honored God, because God still had anointed Saul to be the king.
Right.
And he still honored that position, whether whatever Saul had done in his life, he still honored Saul for the position that God had given him.
Right.
And he says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters.
Right.
You know, and I know a lot of this is probably heard many times. And you know, everybody talks about the funerals and everything. Everybody talks about this. But you know, I want to look at it tonight as something that's real to me. Whether, you know, I mean, I only preach for what I believe and what I see, you know. And this is something that speaks to me. But you know, he says, he leadeth me. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. You know, a sheep knows where, you know, a shepherd knows where to take the sheep for them to eat. You know, he just don't feed them anything. He feeds them in the best places. He said he leads me beside the still waters. You know, it's not any turbulence or anything. It's a calm place to be. You know, because when you listen to the, as David goes on in the scripture reading, you know, he says, he leadeth me beside the still water. So he leads him in a place that's calm. It's comforting. It's, and it, you know, and in God, we, you know, no matter what goes on, as we see here in the scripture, he said, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know, see, be it God providing a way, but he's also providing provision. Now, you know, and you know, if you don't under, I'm sure most of you do, but just to lay this kind of down a little bit, you know, the word provision is the act of, or the manner of supplying something. It's something that's being given to somebody. You know, even, and it can be financial, it can be legal, it can actually be supplies, it can actually be food, it can be anything that a person would need, that is what provisions are. And so, you know, even through all the things, so even when you go to start looking at all the things that God talks about, you know, what, you know, all the way through the Bible, that's what he's done, is he's provided us all manner of things that we have need of. And it doesn't matter, but, and, you know, he said, and the God's provided way, you know, is a path, a manner, a method, a direction, anything that God provides, a way that, in a way, something has to take place. And that was the way that God works. And he said, he leadeth me. So he knows the way to take, and he knows how we're going to go, and he wants us to go a certain way. So he knows how to take us in the right direction. So if we don't try to mess it up and try to get in our own way, if we just let him lead, then he knows where to take us. He knows where we need to go. He knows what's best for us. And so when David is reading here and is speaking of God being his shepherd, and when he said, he restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. See, because when God wants to, when especially like David had a man after God's own heart, and you know, God wanted to use David, and David wanted to be used of God. And so he knew how to use him and take him down the right path that he can do what God wanted him to do. Because, you know, God saw that even when, you know, all of his brothers were rejected, because even all of them that were, you know, greater, might have been intelligent, more intelligent, made it better looking, all the different things that ever a man on the outside would have looked at, that would have expected one of his other brothers to be accepted. God didn't look at any of that, because when he told Samuel to go down there and anoint the king, the new king, he said, you know, man looks on the outside, but he said, God looks on the inside. God's looking at what's on the inside of the man's heart to see what kind of person he is. And you know, that's what God was looking for, a man after his own heart that would follow him that way. Because, you know, God wants the best for us. You know, he said, I know the thoughts that I thought of you. The, you know, thoughts of peace, thoughts of goodness, and all these things, you know, all the things that he wants for us. Yeah. But then when David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Amen. He said, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So when it comes to times when you have to go through the valleys, because, you know, we all, Brother Ram said, we can't live on the mountaintop. No, we all want a mountaintop experience. We all want to live on the mountaintop, but you know, there's valleys you got to face. And God, but he said, when you go in the valleys, he said, that's where the lily of the valley is. He said, he's already made provision for you. So when you go into the valley, he's already there waiting on you. So when he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He said, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Why? Because that is, he saw that there was protection there as a sheep. The shepherd was showing him that he had a way to guide him, but that was also what he used as protection, as a defense, protecting the sheep. And so he said, I see these things, and they, no matter what I go through, but I'm not going to fear what happens, because I know the shepherd is in control. He's leading, he's protecting me. He said, thy rod and thyself, they comfort me. They bring comfort to me when I see those, because I know I'm protected. He said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You know, in the Old Testament and in earlier times, ancient times, we know that, you know, this was really an insult in between armies. If you'd done this was really an insult to them. If you brought two armies into a battle, you know, a soldier, when he goes to battle, he only eats in haste. He's always looking for the enemy. He's always prepared. You know, he's always, his adrenaline's always up. He's always mindful of what's going on. But you know, if you're in a position where you've got two battles, you know, two armies ready to battle, and you go out there and set a table in front of them, and you spread this course and you sit down to eat, you know what that's telling the other army? I have no fear of you. I don't fear you. I don't have any respect for you, and you're not going to be able to do anything for me. So I'm going to sit down, because most of the time they would just eat in haste. You know, they'd hurry up and eat, you know, always. But if I sit down and relax, it's like you can't do anything to me. And so that's the way he says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. So when he sees this, that God is doing this. So when, you know, with God, there is no, confusion. There is no anxiousness with God. There is no worry with God. There's no fear with God. So when you say that thou preparest a table before me, when you eat, when you come to God to eat of the word, then you know what? There is no fear. There is no confusion. There is no anxiousness. There's no anxiety. Why? Because when you come up here to eat from the word of God, then he said, even when in the midst of all the things that go that confound you or comes against you, whatever, you know, you can eat from the table of God, and you know, you don't have to worry, because you can lay all that aside. All the fear and everything lays aside. And David says, this is when I partake of the word of God, you know what? I just let all the fear. I let off the pressure. And he said, thou hast prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Why? Because David realized that when this took place, then all the things that God could only, you know, the things that come to him was only what God allowed to come against him. So it wasn't anything that was something else. So, you know, when the things came, it was, God had it in control. So he could rest assured in that. He said, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. He said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. So we know that we are anointed. And you know, I tell you what, if you just get with God, you know, how many times can you say that your cup is overflowed? And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Amen. We can dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God has a place for you to be. And then when you come into that, then you know what? You don't have to worry about leaving. Because you know what? He's not throwing you out. He's brought you into this place, and now you can stay and rest. But I just wanted to share that with you. And you know, because I wanted you to see, I want to talk about God providing a way and a provision. And you know, David explains that so well. It just stirs something up inside of you when you read it. And you know, when you start to look in the scripture, and the place that I want to go to is the Abraham and the life of Abraham and the descendants and some. But you know, when you see the life of Abraham, you know, Brother Red said the one thing about Abraham was just a normal person. You know, there wasn't anything. There's no super Abraham. You know, Abraham was just a man. But he was just a man that God called, and he answered the call to God. And God realized that Abraham would believe what God told him. And he would follow God wherever he went. And you know, and so you know, when he didn't give Abraham a lot of heads up. He didn't give him a lot of information. He said, you need to get out of your father's house. He said, you need to get out of your father's house, and you need to go to a place I show you. So he didn't have any idea where he was going. He just knew that he was leaving his father's house. God called him and said, listen, it's time to go. So he left. Where are you going, Abraham? I don't know, but I'm following God. But you know, as he began to walk with God, God began to speak to Abraham and tell him more about what was going on and what was going to take place. And as he began to take this journey and he began to walk, then, you know, as he began to speak to him, then he began to see more things and began to tell him more things and explain more things. And, you know, he just began to walk and believe God. Right. Now, Abraham had his ups and downs.
He had his failures, but you know what? He still kept walking with God. And God didn't turn his back on him. He kept calling Abraham, and Abraham kept answering. And so it's the same way as you and I. God didn't look at Abraham's failures. He didn't look at his turns back and all the other things that he done. God kept looking at Abraham because he kept believing and he kept walking.
Amen.
And you know, he kept asking for forgiveness and he kept putting all that behind him and kept walking.
Yes,
and that's the same way with you and I being the seed of Abraham. You know, we don't look at our faults and failures because God don't look at our faults and failures. If it's under the blood, then you know what? We shouldn't be worrying about what's under the blood, because if it's under the blood, it's done away with. And so all we do is we're just continue to walk forward and believe what God has told us and look to see what God wants to speak to us. And as Abraham began to walk, you know, he said, it's time to be separated from your family. And you know, even though in the beginning, you know, he started to walk and you know, he got a little confused about what it meant to be separated. And then, you know, then God had to cause this confusion with Lot, because, you know, Lot wasn't a part of this deal. It was between him and God. And, you know, they had to have this little stir up so he could get rid of Lot, so he could go, that he could follow, that it would just be him and God. And he began to walk with God. And you know, God took somebody that, you know, that believed, but, you know, he had a lot of problems in his life. When God told Abraham, said, you're going to be a father of many nations. There's going to be multitudes. Can you number the stars or the sand? He said, that's how you're going to be. He's like, well, that's funny, because I ain't never had any kids, and, you know, we can't have kids, but, you know, it's like, well, you know, it don't matter, and I'm old age, and, you know, we're both got one foot in the grave and one on a banana peel, but you know what? God didn't worry about all that, you know, because, you know what? And Abraham, you know, as the Bible tells us, Abraham got to the place where he didn't look at his body, he didn't look at Sarah's body, he didn't look at his circumstances. He believed what God told him.
Amen.
And so when he began to look at the things that God had spoken to him and told him, just continue to walk and continue to believe. Well, you know, that's what happened. As he began to walk and he began to believe what God told him, then, you know, we saw the miracles take place, that all of a sudden in the midst of all these things, when there wasn't anybody that was going to believe what he confessed and what God told him, and he began to tell the people, this is what God's going to do, then, you know, they began to ridicule and mock him for what he believed. But, you know, he just kept on walking. Well, one day in the midst of all that thing, there came a body change upon him, and you know what? They changed back, and God began to do the work that he confessed all those years. 25 years he began to walk, and just it looked like a fool in front of everybody, but you know what? God began to make it real what he said. And then in the midst of all that, you know, he had a son. And you know, here became in his in the change, and all of a sudden, then he had a son. But you know what? It wasn't the first son that he had. Because, you know, he got a little confused in there, you know. And all of a sudden, here he is. He's got Ishmael, you know, that's just, you know, kind of being that contentious one, you know, a little bit thorn in the flesh, you know, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, God said, you know, we're not going to worry about Ishmael. Ishmael's going to do his part. Ishmael's going to be blessed and all that. But I'm going to talk about the promised son.
Amen.
I want to talk to you about the one that I've been telling you about.
Amen.
And that was so when Isaac came, and then, you know, then when God gave him Isaac, and then he stood there, and after all those years of confessing and believing, and all of a sudden, then him and Sarah was able to have a son. Well, all of a sudden, then God was like, hey, well, you know, now it's time for a greater test. After you stood the test and you've believed me and you've walked all this time, then guess what? Now it's time for you to offer your son as a sacrifice. Brother Bram said, and the patriarch Abraham said, you know, he gave him a double test after all this time that he walked and believed that, and then he received the son, and God told him, said, get rid of him. I wanted you to offer him.
Yep.
But you know what? He'd walked all that time and didn't have any qualms in all of that. And then when he walked on, he said, you know what? We're going to offer him.
Right. Yeah.
And he went out there and he took the young men, he took the animals and went to the mountain. He said, y'all stay here. Watch over the animals. We're going to the mountain. We're going to worship. And said, we're going to come back. When it didn't look like there was a way out, he still walked on that mountain. You know, when you have children and you see them and you think, what would it be like to walk on that mountain? Do you have that kind of faith? But you know what? After you've seen what God's done in your life and God brought you through these things, you know what? If he's made that promise, it doesn't matter what takes place. He's going to fulfill his word.
Amen.
And when he went on that mountain, he took Isaac up there. And you know, Isaac stood there and said, well, Father, here's the wood and here's the fire. Where's the sacrifice? He said, God will provide himself a sacrifice. You know what? We're going to go through the things that God told us to do. We're going to be faithful in God's word. Whether we have the answers for the world or not, it doesn't matter. The scripture tells us that when it comes time, he said, it will be given to you what needs to be said. You know, many times people out there, you know, the world is full of doubters, the world is full of haters and everything like that. But you know what? The haters are going to continue to hate, as Brother Matthew always talks about, and the mockers are going to mock, but he said the believers are going to believe. It doesn't matter what comes or goes. You're not going to change people's mind. And people get on Facebook and different places and you know, they get on there and they'll spend hours and hours and hours and hours arguing over little things here and there. And you know what? If people don't believe this message, you ain't going to put it in them. There's people that's walked in this message 30, 40, 20 years, whatever it's been, half their life, most of their life, and all of a sudden now they tell you that Brother Branham's not right, the prophet's not right, that you can't put any confidence in anything he said, and they nitpick this and nitpick that. Listen, they ain't gonna, you know, you can't argue with them people. I mean, you got a better idea arguing with that door than you do with them people. I mean, you know, if God don't lay it on, if God speaks to you to speak to somebody, that's all right. But you know what? A lot of people, they've already turned it down. But you know what? That's what God said would be in the last days, that there would be a falling away. And that's what would have to take place. And you know what? Praise God, it did. Why? Because it's fulfilling God's word. Now people can argue and fuss over if they want to and try to turn people away. But you know what? People that can be turned away will be turned away. But those that cannot be turned away, that cannot be shaken, that are steadfast and unmovable by the word of Jesus Christ, by the life of God that lives inside of them, you know what? They're going to stand. You're not going to change people's mind. You can't. Don't worry about it. I see people arguing, fuss, worried about kind of all that kind of stuff. You know, I mean, it takes the Holy Ghost to open people's eyes. And if they've turned away, you can't change their mind. Just as Abraham, you know, he began to walk, you know, and his walk and all the things that he went through, you know, he couldn't argue with people. He just had to stay with what God told him. And he stood there and, you know, he went up on the mountain. He said, God will provide himself a sacrifice. And you know, and then all of a sudden there was a ram in the caught in the thicket. You know, and you know, he was ready to slay his son, had him on the altar, ready, raised his knife when the Lord stopped him. But you know what? He was going to go do that. Why? Because he had faith. He had enough confidence in God that even if he killed him, that he'd raise him from the dead. It didn't matter what would take place. He said that he would be a father of nations. And this was the one that it would come through. So it didn't matter what happened to Isaac. No matter what happened, you know, Isaac was going to be the one that was going to, and you know, it just like everybody talks about David, you know, David was there and you know, God had anointed David to be king. Well, you know, he wasn't afraid of Goliath. He wasn't afraid of nothing. Why? Because he was anointed king and he knew that God was going to do that until he sat on the throne. Well, you know what? Isaac was going to be a father. Why? Because the seed that came from his father, Abraham, that it would have to come through Isaac also. So it didn't matter what would take place. Why? Because Isaac was going to be a father also. And then Jacob. No matter what kind of person Jacob was, but Jacob had recompense to the reward. He desired that birthright. He had a desire for it. Even though Esau was a greater man, greater, you know, as the world would have looked upon Esau, everybody would have loved Esau much more than they would have Jacob. Some people wouldn't want to have anything to do with Jacob, but God saw what was on the inside of that man. And you know, every one of them, they came through, and you know, every one of them was, you know, and Jacob standing there, Lord, if you'll bless me. And God trying to talk to Jacob and tell him, you know what? I'm going to bless you. You're blessed. Well, Lord, if you'll bless me. And all of the struggles that he was looking for the Lord trying to bless him. And you know, and the Lord kept trying to tell him, you're blessed. And you know, and so many other people, we want a word from the Lord. Oh, we seek for God for this and seek God for that. And many times if we just sit down and be quiet, you know, God's trying to talk to you and tell you, you are blessed.
Right, that's right.
You know, many people, you know, as they tell about the little story about the child that had the toy that was broken. And you know, they were so worried about their toy that they took it to the father and you know, they wanted the father to fix the toy. And you know, it was trying to, daddy, you need to fix this. Can you fix this? And they were so worried about the toy that they wanted daddy to fix it. And they were saying, well, daddy, why don't you fix it? And he was like, child, until you turn it loose, I can't do anything. Until you turn it loose, then I can do something. And it's the same way with you and I. He would say, cast all our cares upon him, for he cares for us. Well, you know what? If we're trying to hold on to him and try to cast them, if we try to give them to him, if we're trying to hold on to him, then he can't move because we're hindering him. So if we just give them to him and say, Lord, I'm just going to take my hands off. Then I'm just going to release them to you. Then God can move. Because we can just step in and say, Lord, I'm not going to get in your way. But many times that's what happens. We try to walk and we try to get in God's way because we think that we can help God along in the plan. But the problem is many times we don't know what the plan is. Right, right. Yeah, that's right. So if we don't know what the plan is, you know what? You're kind of useless. You know, you work for a production company or you work in maintenance or as many of you have done different things, you know, you work on a job site. Well, you know, if people don't have an idea what you're trying to accomplish, people will get up there and they try to give you ideas and they try to be a boss and try, you know, and if they don't have any idea what they're doing, they're really just getting in your way and they're useless. And you know, it's the same way, you know, if we don't know what God's plan is for our lives, then why are we trying to run it? We get in our own way. But you know, if we can just allow God to work, then he can lead us to places where we need to be. And you know, all this time that Abraham was walking with God all on this journey, you know, he was placing his footsteps. And you know, all this time that they were walking, all the time that they walked with God, you know, that was the promised land. God had given them a place to come to. And here they are, all this time they're walking. You know, all the footsteps that they put down was their possession. And here they are walking and Jacob coming and you know, asking for the Lord's blessing and all those things and God trying to talk to him. And then, you know, there came a time where, you know, that, you know, the angel came to him and, you know, Jacob wanted to wrestle, you know, he was like, you know, I want you to bless me. I want you to bless me. You know, he was going to hang on to him. And he said, like, I got to go. He said, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. You know, he wrestled with him all night long till he got a blessing from him. And then, you know, then he was touched in the side, you know, and then he left, you know, then it changed the way he walked. Yeah. For the rest of the time, he was a limping prince with God. But you know, he come to a place through that you know, he realized that God had blessed him, that he was blessed. And then, you know, from Jacob, we see that the patriarchs came in and you know, he had all of the sons and you know, he began to multiply and you see all the blessings that God had done for him. And you know, then from there, you know, all of the different ones that had taken place and you know, we see that from Jacob, we see that Joseph came into being, you know, his son, and you know, was a perfect man, and you know, was you know, all the things that we know about Joseph in his life, and you know, being a spiritual man, and you know, all the things that you know, being hated of his brothers, and because he was different, you know, because and he was loved of his father, and all those things, and. But you know, we know that God told Abraham, he said, your children, your descendants, your seed, he said, they'll be strangers in a strange land. They'll sojourn in a strange land. And he said, in the midst of all that, he said, they'll be brought out with a great deliverance. So bring them out. And you know, here's Joseph, you know, being the son. And, you know, he was loved of his father and hated of his brothers and, you know, being spiritual. And we know that God spoke to Joseph and began to explain to him what things were going to take place. And, And you know, they hated him and because he was the peculiar person and all the things that had taken place. And then he began to have dreams and tell the dreams. And well, that just made them more, you know, madder at him because, you know, they just more angry at him because, you know, then even got rebuked by his dad because he said, you know, we're going to bow to you. But you know, it was still the word of God. It's still what Joseph was just telling him, what God was showing him. You know, he wasn't trying to make anything of himself, but it was just God speaking to him. And in the midst of, you know, as he began to speak and began to walk before the Lord, and you know, we know that, you know, they hated him so much they wanted to get rid of him. They conspired to kill him. But you know, I believe it was Reuben that told him, said, you know, we're not going to shed innocent blood. You know, he's our brother. We're not going to kill him. But you know, came the time when the caravan came by. I believe it was the Ishmaelites or whatever. You know, they came by and, you know, so they sold him into slavery. It's like, well, you know, we'll get rid of him. We won't have to deal with him anymore. So he's going to be out of our hands, out of our hair. We'll get rid of him, but we won't kill him. So that blood won't be able to, but you know, they went and deceived their father saying, you know, your son is dead. We found his coat of many colors dipped in blood. And you know, then, you know, Jacob was there and, you know, he was talking about, oh, I'm going to be in mourning for the rest of my life because he's gone from me. And, you know, he said, you know, my gray hairs will go to the ground because my son is gone. I'll never be comforted from this and I'll never get over this. But you know, we see that how Joseph was sold into slavery and his brothers thought, well, we got rid of him, you know. But you know, there came a time when in the midst of all these things that Joseph, here's a man that's, after, you know, was a great man, spiritual, was a prophet. And you know, all the things that he had done, he had a perfect life, and yet all this stuff had befallen him. All these terrible things had come upon him where he's sold into slavery and he's bound and he's taken away from his family. And even though his brothers didn't care for him too much, you know, he still missed being with his family. He loved them, but you know, he went away. But you know, God had his hand on him, even in the midst of all the struggles and all the turmoils and all the things that he faced, God still had his hand on Joseph. Amen. And even when he got sold into slavery, you know, and he went down there and was in Potiphar's house and he went in, and in the midst of all that, everything that Joseph put his hand to, he was blessed. And then he blessed Potiphar's house and everything that took place. And then when Potiphar's wife, you know, she wanted him to lay with her and all that, you know, and then he ran from them and they put him in prison. And you know, he was there in the prison house. And you know, even in the midst of all the guard of the prison house realized what kind of man that Joseph was. And then he brought him and he put him over everybody. And you know, and even in the prison house was blessed because Joseph was there. You know, and God still had his hand upon him, and you know, and all the things that they saw that he'd done, and as he was walking through, and all these things that took place. And in the midst of all of this, you know, Joseph was walking, and he was, you know, just living the life before, and everybody's like, well, why, you know, you'd have to think, why is all this befallen us? But you know what? It was to fulfill the scripture. It was to fulfill the word. Now, Brother Branham says in the message, this is from Proving His Word. He said, he promised his seed to be a stranger in a strange land and be misjudged by the people, and they would sojourn Abraham's seed for 400 years amongst strangers, strange people. And he fulfilled his word just exactly what he said he would do. Abraham's seed did sojourn in Egypt 400 years. He promised also to deliver them with a mighty hand, a strong hand. He would deliver the people out of the Egyptian bondage. And he kept his word. Look what he had to do to get them children down in Egypt. It looked like a disaster was befalling and everything. He said, look how horrible for Joseph to be considered dead. And he was talking about how hard it was for, he says Isaac, but he says Jacob, his father, to believe that his own son was killed by animals. How hard it was for little Joseph to know that the poor little fellow away from his people, betrayed by his brethren, thrown in a ditch, supposedly to be dead. Sheep blood put on his coat where they had slayed a lamb to eat it, put the blood on it and took it to his father, knowing all this. But Joseph could remember one thing, that the hand of the Lord was upon him. He knew that he was a believer. No matter how his brothers turned him out, how much there was no cooperation or nothing else, Joseph knew God would keep his word. Amen. When he saw that vision of all them bowing before him, he knew that had to come to pass because it was thus saith the Lord. Amen. Don't care how unreasonable it seemed, Joseph knew it was the truth. No matter how hard the task was and what he had to go through with, he knew someday every one of them would bow before his feet. How is he going to do it when they hated him? But God would prove his word every time. Amen. So we know that, you know, Joseph went through all this, but you know, God had his hand on him. And he knew that God was going to bring it through. And you know, even in the midst of all of that, and you know, the baker and the butler were cast into the prison, and you know, they asked about their dreams, and he interpreted the dreams correctly. And you know, we knew what took place, how the butler was restored and the baker was slain, and you know, how all these things, and you know, yet he was still forgotten about. But until the Pharaoh had these dreams that he couldn't interpret to see what was going to take place. And in the midst of all this, then when it came to a place they couldn't find anybody to interpret the dreams, then the butler was like, oh yeah, I remember a fella. He's down in the prison, but he could interpret dreams. And so, you know, then Joseph was brought forth and he could interpret the dreams and realize, listen, Pharaoh, this is what your dreams are. There's a famine coming. You're going to have a period of great harvest. You're going to have, everything's going to be great for a while, but all of a sudden, then there's going to be 7 years that you're going to have a famine and you need to prepare. And he gives him, said, this is what we're going to have to do to prepare. And then when Pharaoh sees that this was going to take place, then when he brings it to this, then he realized, you know, is there any man in all of Egypt that has the wisdom of God, that is anointed with the Spirit of God, that can be over this? And so in all of the things that took place, then Pharaoh elevates Joseph to the second in command, to next to him. And he said, I want you to in implement all this and take care of all this. And you know, when we see all this take place, well then in the famine time, then his brothers came and you know, they came and he recognized them. They didn't recognize him, but you know, then he began to speak to his brothers and you know, make it kind of hard on them at first because they had come back. And you know, he said, you're spies. And he said, y'all just come to see the land. And he said, we have another brother. We have one that's not with us, and we've got one that's still with our father. And he's like, you're just liars. He said, I want to see the other one. I believe it was Simeon or whichever one he kept. You know, he kept one of the brothers. He sent him back and he said, you got to bring your brother back. And he said, if you don't, then your brother's dead. And you know, all the things that took place. And then he was able, in time when they came back, then he was able to, he couldn't hold himself any longer. You know, he had to identify himself, and he told him, he said, listen, I'm Joseph. I'm your brother. He said, you know, all the things that have taken place, look, he said, y'all hated me. He said, y'all wanted to get rid of me. But he said, look, he said, all of this, he said, God done this to preserve life. He said, is my father still alive? And he said, then bring your brothers and your sisters down and everybody, all of your children and your children's children and everybody, bring everybody down. Bring my father down. I want to see him. And he said, there's a place here for you. There's a place in Goshen for you. He said, because we've got many more years of a famine left, but he said, there's a place for you that I can take care of you. And you know, we know that the children of Israel came down into Egypt and they were able to live out their, the time of the famine. But you know, and all of that, you know, it was fulfilling God's word. And you know, and many times when we see things that we don't understand, we don't understand why things happen the way they do. But you know, here it was fulfilling the word of God. And here they are bringing all of those people down into the land of Egypt. And they became a great mighty nation. And they were blessed during that time until there came one that didn't know Joseph. Until there came a Pharaoh that didn't know Joseph and did not know the blessing that laid within their borders. But here was a blessing. But you know what? He didn't recognize any of that. That wasn't nothing to him. Why? Because he didn't know anything. He just knows these people are a enemy to me. Why? Because he was fearful of them because they were so powerful and not realizing what a blessing they were. They were not there trying to take over Egypt. Why? Because Egypt was not their land. Egypt was not their homeland. It was not anything they wanted. But you know, to fulfill the word that Abraham received, then God had to speak to them, and he had to harden Pharaoh's heart to bring the children of Israel back out of Egypt, back to the promised land that he made of Abraham. And you know, in all of these things, and so, you know, then it came time that he had to bring them out. You know, and so, you know, here they are, and when they receive this, Pharaoh, they didn't know Joseph. And he was like, you know, we're going to destroy these people. We're going to kill all the children. We're going to get rid of these people. And you know, and yet all of those people down there saying, you know, God said it was going to be a deliverer. You know, Amram and Jochebed down there talking about, you know, there's going to be a deliverer. And all the things that they had went through, and all the ones that they had seen, all of those children get killed, being fed to the alligators, and all the things that they had went through. But you know, God raised up one to deliver them. Amen. To bring them out. You know, and you know, sometimes, When we see things, we see things, we only see things in the short term, but sometimes we don't see the long term, effects of things. You know, because you know, here many people, they read the story of Joseph and you know, many times they just think Joseph was in Egypt and you know, they came down there and he preserved their life. But you know, something had to take place because the word to Abraham had to be fulfilled. And so when he came down there, you know, all of that had to take place. But see, Joseph standing there knew that he was anointed of God, but you know, he did not realize that he was the one that was going to fulfill. See, God had spoken to him and he had this vision of what was going to take place. But you know, there was another vision that was spoken that was going to take place, and that was that he was going to bring his people out by a mighty hand. But they had to be in that land. And so they had to be brought down into Egypt. And so all these things had to work together to fulfill the word of God. And you know, and many times we see things that happen in our lives and we wonder why things happen the way they do. Why? Because God is fulfilling the word. And if sometimes we see the word, we see parts of the word, but we don't see the full picture. But you know, God don't want us to see the full picture sometimes. He wants us to focus on the one part that he's trying to fulfill, trying to show us something. And if we can see that, then later on he can show. Because many times we see things in our lives and we wonder and we look back and you know you look back a few years later and you look at that and you think, man, that was an amazing thing that God brought me through. That was an overcoming. But sometimes, you know, when you look back many years later, then you look back and think, man, that was even greater. Well, because when you see those things, sometimes we don't see the full the magnificent work of God when it first takes place in our lives. We see things and it's like, man, that was amazing. But then later on then we realize, you know, it was even a greater victory than sometimes when you look back on it to say what God has done and how God has brought you through these things and God has delivered you and God has ministered to you. And you think, man, what God has done. And you know, you just think, I can't thank him enough. I can't give him enough glory. I can't give him enough praise. Because you know, then as you begin to see the things that you've seen in your life and what God has done for you, you know, it's such an amazing thing. And so, you know, there's many times we look back in our lives and we see, you know, we begin to focus on certain things and not realize what God has done for us and seen those things that take place. But you know, here God told them, said, listen, they're going to come out. And even, you know, all the things that they saw. But you know what? God never forgot what he told Abraham. Amen. And you know, and then he stood there and he spoke to Moses in the burning bush. And he stood there and he said, I've heard the cry of my people. Why? Because, you know, he told them, hey, listen, they're going to be down there. They're going to sojourn in a land. But he said, you know what? When they get tired of being down there, when things happen, you know, then they're going to cry and I'm going to hear them. And he said, I've come down. He said, I've come down to deliver them. But he said, I'm going to send you. I anointed you to do that. And you know, in the midst of all that, and you know, it's not like the people live in a bubble. You know, because, you know, when Moses was speaking, you know, Moses knew what happened to Abraham. Abraham, he knew what happened to Isaac. He knew the scripture. He knew what happened to the children of Israel. He wasn't living in a cocoon somewhere. He knew what took place. But you know what? When God come down and began to speak to him, then it's like, well, you know what? You're going to be the deliverer. You know, many hundreds of years ago, I spoke to the patriarch Abraham and told him what was going to take place. But you know what? You're going to fulfill that scripture. You're going to be the one to do that. And you know, many times people say, you know, it's put in the scripture, but then you know what? It becomes you and I are going to be God's hands. We're going to be God's feet. We're going to be God's mouth. We're going to be God's eyes. And God wants to use you to do it. And sometimes we think, you know, well, you know, it's going to be somebody else. You know, it's going to be Brother Dale or Brother Wade or, you know, it's going to be somebody else. No, sometimes it's going to be you. No matter how simple you are, no matter how low you are, because, you know, when all of this started with Joseph, Joseph was only 17 years old. And at 17 years old, he entered into the will of God and was working the will of God. Living in a filthy dungeon somewhere, but you know, it was fulfilling the word of God. And you know, and all the things that happened to Moses as Moses was, you know, put in the ark and sent down the Nile and then he raised up in Pharaoh's house. What a great, mighty, intelligent man he was that he lived in and you know, taught the people of Egypt all these things, and what a great stature that he had and how he was beloved of the Pharaoh and everything. But then when it came a time, he had to run. Why? Because it wasn't time, because he tried to fulfill the scripture that his mother told him about being the deliverer, tried to fulfill it on his own. He did not wait for God, but when God come and spoke to him by the burning bush and kept telling him, said, now, after you sat on the backside of the desert for 40 years and I've beat all of your idiocracy out of you, because he became an educated idiot. Because he thought by his education, he'd become to the place that he got puffed up that he thought he could do something. It didn't take away the position that he was the deliverer, but the problem was he had to get to the place where God could use him. God wanted to meet him, and when God met him, then it was time for him to go. But he stood there and said, Oh God, I can't talk. You know, look at me. You know, I can't talk. I don't have a good mouth. You know, God said, listen, I'm not worried about that. I've anointed you. I've called you. You got a commission. It's time for you to go and do this. Amen. And in the midst of that, you know, he told him, so, well, he said, we're going to send your brother Aaron along with you. But you know, he gave him, he said, listen, he said, they're not going to believe me down there. He said, that's all right. I'm going to give you the two signs. You're going to go down there and show them. Right. And he said, you know, then he started walking down there, you know, walking with a donkey, with a stick, an old man walking down through there, wife on the donkey, child on her hip, going down through there. Where are you going, Moses? Take over. I'm going to be the biggest problem Egypt's ever had. A one-man invasion. I come to take over. Why? Because God anointed me. The greatest nation in the world, and they thought some old man that's been spent too much time in the desert done cooked his brain. No, God had ways. And when he went down there, you know, he told him, said, let my people go. Time to go. Nope, you ain't going. Well, that's all right. You know, he went down there. And Jannes and Jambres withstood him. You know, that didn't change the fact. He didn't get nervous. He didn't get worried. Why? Because he stood what God had told him. And all the things, you know, God told him, said, listen, call for the flies, the fleas, frogs, turn the water to blood, do everything. It didn't change the Pharaoh. He still, you're not going. And all of the gods of Egypt, you know, the major gods of Egypt, you know, Moses went down there and, you know, they had the water god, you know, the one that blessed the Nile. He was the, or woman, whatever it was, the deity that supposedly blessed the Nile. Well, he went down there and turned it to blood. Well, you know what? Showed their God couldn't do that. Couldn't change it back. Of all the things, destroyed their crops. Sent all the pestilence in there, and they had all these gods, and you know, they were supposed to control all this. Well, you know what? God went down there and showed them, well, that deity doesn't work, and that one doesn't work, and I defeated that one, and I've defeated that one. And the sun god was there, and we made it dark. It was so dark that it said that it was felt. That's pretty dark. But you know, in all the things that they done, you know, he went down there and proved all of their deities. And you know, there he is, he's showing to the children of Israel, all these things that you've seen in all these years where the Egyptians have beat this stuff. And you know, it wasn't just the physical abuse that you see that we talk about. We talk about the reason of their taskmasters and all those things. But you know what takes place when you go down through there? It's all the constant bombardment of the mental abuse that you have to deal with. Cause can you imagine them coming out there, those taskmasters? Well, you know what? If your God was real, you wouldn't be in this mess. I thought you had this great God that could do things. Well, by our great gods, we've got you bound, and look what you're doing. You're building these great buildings and raising these monuments up to our great gods and everything. And look what we got going on. And you know, we got all this cheap labor going on, and you know, all these type of things that they have to deal with. But you know what? God didn't forget about them. And they just kept on going. They kept walking. And you know, all of a sudden, and you know, when it came to the time, then Pharaoh was like, well, it's time to go. You know, when God got to the point where Pharaoh was tired and he wore him down, you know, and all, you know, he wanted to get rid of him and told him to go. But you know, when Pharaoh was, you know, he got to the point in itself that he was so worked up that, you know, he realized, you know, I'm not going to let him go. You know, because, you know, why if you get to that point where you leave and then you see them that they're leaving, then all of a sudden, you know, it was something that was so raised up inside of him that, you know, he didn't want to be defeated. Right. That he was like, well, I'm going to go after them. Right. Well, you know, Moses told him, he said, the ones you see today, said you'll see them no more. God brought you through, and then you know, and all the things that God brought them through, brought them to that land, opened up the Red Sea. They walked through on dry land. When they got to the place, you know, oh, you know, how are we going to get over this? No, God had a place and had a way to get them over. But then they stood there and they watched their enemy destroyed in a supernatural way. All of those standing there watching the greatest army in the world, that great empire, be destroyed. And then, you know, then they couldn't go, but, you know, just a 2 or 3 weeks, whatever it was, a month journey to the promised land, 3 days journey, whatever it was, you know. They're out there 40 years walking in the same place, same thing, murmuring and complaining. God speaking to them and telling them, listen, y'all need to get ready so you can go in this land. And they're still bound to the same thing, facing the same thing, going around in the same circle. Going through the same thing and still not any further along. But God brought them through. But you know, when they couldn't believe and they couldn't walk in what God had told them, then you know what? They ended up dying in the wilderness. But you know what? There was a promised seed that went in and took that land that fulfilled the word that God had spoken to Abraham. That God had spoken to him and told him what was going to take place. And God led them in and God fulfilled his word. And many times, you know, if we see things that we don't understand why things happen the way they do in our lives, you know what? Just hold on. God will show you. Because you know, God will fulfill the word that He has for each one of us. Amen. And you know, and you know, when we see these things in our lives and we don't understand, I want to share this with you. You know, when you see these things take place, don't be disheartened by what you see. Amen. You know, don't give up by what takes place. Because you know, when it was so amazing, because you know, when all these things took place, you know, they all looked back to the patriarchs and said, do you remember? Do you remember? And even, and you know, even when you get to in the book of Acts, in the seventh chapter of Acts, I believe it is when Stephen stands up and preaches that wonderful message to the people, and he began to speak of the things that took place and all the ones that had taken in place in the past. And he stood there and he went back and he started talking about what God had done for our father Abraham and come all the way down and was showing all the things. And he said, you know, all of them, but you know, they turned away from what God had showed them. God had told them what was going to take place. And then y'all turned it down. And he said, and then, you know, and he began to expound all the way through the scripture. And then Stephen got to the place and he told him, y'all circumcised and stiff necks. And he said, y'all always resist the word. Y'all always resist God of everything he's had to do. He said, it's the same spirit that was out there in the wilderness that withstood Moses, that withstood Joshua. All them, y'all are the same ones. It's the same spirit, and y'all stand right here. And you know what? They got so mad that the scripture says that they gnashed their teeth, and you know, they just couldn't wait to get rid of Stephen. Just like they done the prophets and the ones in the Old Testament. Y'all done the exact same way. Y'all here they are. Y'all seen all these things, and y'all just can't wait to get rid of them. And here they are, tug them out in the street and stone him. Get out there and stone Stephen. Why, he sealed his testimony in his own blood. But you know, when he began to say, you know, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father, you know, and you know, he said, Lord, don't lay this to their charge. That was an amazing scene. And you know, there was a man that was standing there. And they held their coats, and he was in conspiracy with these people. And he agreed with them, and he stood there and they laid their coats at his feet. And you know what was so amazing was when you read that in that scripture that here's this man, and he's standing there watching Brother Stephen get stoned. And Stephen's laying on the ground dying, watching getting his head bashed in. But the last thing that Stephen has to say is, Lord, don't lay this to their charge. He had so much love. And you know who was standing there listening to that? And you know who Stephen was calling out for? Do you know who he was calling out? He was calling out for the Apostle Paul. Paul standing there listening, being a conspirator, being an accomplice to murder Stephen, and Stephen calling out to the Apostle Paul and saying, Lord, don't lay this to his charge. I tell you what, I do, if I don't stir your soul, your spoons fell out of your bowl. Why? Because let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. There's people that you don't know about. You don't know. Well, you've never seen. You'll never see on this side of glory that have had your name and had you in their prayer. And you don't know who's interceded for you. And you'll never know who they are. But they have interceded for you. And even in the scripture tells us that even Jesus prayed for us. And that he interceded to the Father on our behalf. Because you know what? We're going to live in this world. But you know what? He said, you've given these to me and they will overcome. Brothers and sisters, we've been given a word. And you know what? We can stand up and claim our word. And because God has had somebody that's come and interceded. And we have had a high priest that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. And knows the struggles and the pains and the heartaches that we've been through. And brothers and sisters, we've had somebody that's interceded on our behalf. And he said, you know what? We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And we've given everything. And you know what, brothers and sisters? All you got to do is claim it. But because we've seen a great cloud of witnesses that have come and have overcome all the powers of the darkness and have overcome the enemy. And Jesus has said, you know, he said, he has come. The prince of this world has come. And he said, he has no part in me. Why? Because I'm of the Word, and I've come from my Father, and I go to my Father. And he said, you and I are the same way, brothers and sisters. We've come from God, and we go back to God. We may fall and fail, and we may have issues, and we may have problems. But let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Yes,
God has provided the way and the provisions. Whatever you have, Nathan. Why? Because he's given us a way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, none come to the Father but by me. You've been called by God, and he's brought you into the household of faith. He's given you his spirit. Well, he didn't give it to you just so you can fail. Just so you can live defeated.
Amen.
but He's given you the Holy Ghost so that you'll overcome. I want to live in that. I want to know what, as Paul said, I want to know Him in the power of His resurrection. I want to know. I want to overcome.
Amen.
I want to know why, because I want to get out of here. I don't want to live in this past house any longer. Why? Because God has created a better place for us.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
I want to go. I don't want to be here any longer. Scripture says they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Don't lose your testimony. Whatever it is. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Whatever you go through, don't turn away. God has made a way. And He's given provision. And it doesn't matter. We don't know where it's going to come from. When they sold Joseph into slavery, they did not realize. But you know what? He came to preserve life. And it doesn't matter where you're at today, no matter where you sin or you fall, there's still a high priest. There's still a fountain open in the house of David for sin and uncleanness. God bless you tonight. Let's all stand, have the musicians come. I want to sing that song. I want to live the way He wants me to live. I don't know what key that'll be. F. Amen. Hallelujah.
I want to live the way He wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love, yes, love till there's just no more love. For I could never, never outlove the Lord. I want to live the way He wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love, yes, love till there's just no more love. I could never, never outlove the Lord. Me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love, love till there's just no more love. For I could never, Jesus be Lord. Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. The kingdoms of my heart. So I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. kingdoms of my heart. Lord of all, Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. The kingdoms of my heart.
Amen. God bless you tonight. I was thinking about, I had it in my notes, I didn't get, but, you know, in Ephesians 4, the scripture talks about, you know, he gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists, and, you know, it continues on for the perfecting of the saints. He says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine and the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth. And you know, many times when we think about things, you know, there's no big I's, there's no little U's. Every part is important. But that's the reason he says, the whole body, everything works together. But you know the scripture there where it says, and compacted that which every joint supplieth. You know, that's a tight-knit group, compacted. You know, that's the reason that when Brother Aaron talked about in the message to the church, you know, he talked about, you know, he said the brother had the dream of the armor, and he said, you cinched it up, everybody get closer together. You know, we have to be draw closer to one another. In him, he draws us closer together. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So everything that we do, we should realize we do unto the Lord, but you know, it's to edify the body. So it's not just everybody on an island. Every little thing that we do unto the Lord, but everything is for the edification of the body. Amen. Every little thing. We come to church, you know, it's to edify at one another. Everything that we do is to bless one another. You know, so there is no, you know, insignificant ones. If you're not here, we miss you. If you're sick, we feel for you. If you're hurt, everybody's the same. Just like he said, we ought to be close enough to one another, chew each other's chewing gum. Like I've always said, everybody says, I want to chew it first. I told him, I said, when the Lord tells me to chew your chewing gum, I will. God ain't never told me to chew your gum, but I don't mind. If he tells me to do it, I'll do it. I mean, I just have that much confidence, but I don't know why he would want me to, but if I need to, I will. But I want to be that willing that if I need to, I can. Well, God bless you tonight. I appreciate each one of you. Love you. And, let's sing one more before we go.
Time is filled with swift transition. No. Build your hopes on things eternal and hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Changing hand. Build your hopes on things eternal and hold to God's unchanging hand. trust in Him who will not leave you. Whatsoever years may bring, if by earthly friends forsaken, still more closely to Him cling. Oh, to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. To God's unchanging end. Covet not this world's vain riches that so rapidly decay. Seek to gain